Today on Real Radio.
Who said that? Jesus said it. Very few make it. This is not the Jesus that's being preached today.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series on the parables of Jesus. Now, toward the tail end of the famous Sermon on the Mount, Jesus expressed a word picture with language that's both simple and frightening at the same time. We're talking about the two gates and two ways. One is wide open, the other extremely narrow, with very few who pass through it, as we'll see. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Listen, Christian, young Christian, old Christian, all of us alike, Jesus is saying the Christian walk daily is like squeezing through a gauntlet every day. And when I read that and studied that, I praised the Lord. Because is that not our lives? Is not the world on one side so broad, so big, so loud, so many options? On both sides, these things are. And the Lord says, walk with me, Jack, walk with me, one foot in front of the other. Do you remember last summer when that guy, was it Nick Walinda, walked across the Grand Canyon? Remember that guy? Can you imagine if he said, hey, you know what? I want to go out here a little bit. No, man, that guy, he stayed right on that wire going across that thing, quoting scripture the whole way. Remember that? Think of that. That's a good picture to keep in your mind. Jesus is saying, it's going to be really tight. You're going to squeeze, and you're going to feel not only that you're squeezed, you're going to feel like you're getting crushed at times. From both ends. Crushed. Christian, listen, this is intended tonight to encourage you. I mean it. If you've given your heart to Christ, and you're walking with him, and it's hard. I want to name names here tonight. I see people in here that God is working, and they're coming through. And you know what? They're going through thick and thin, man. They're getting squeezed like paste through a tube. But they're keeping their eyes on Jesus. They've gone through stuff, and they're going through stuff. Some of them have come out of radical lifestyles, and they're just hanging on to Jesus. And I love it. You know what? So am I. So are you who have heard his voice and are following him. There's a crushing, there's a squeezing. It feels like we're not going to make it at times. And Jesus says, just keep your eyes on heaven. Don't look down. The squeezing is proof that you're on the right path. The Bible is God's map for us. Okay, I'm going to ask you to get out your pen and write down some verses. These are very, very important. It's very, very important. We need this right now. Here we go. Regarding this narrowness, what is it? What is required of me to walk the narrow? Number one, repentance. Enter by coming on the way of repentance. That's the first thing that God lays down for us, to change your mind. The word repent means change your mind. Acts 17:30. Truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to what? Repent. Change your mind. Number two, this is what Jesus requires of us. Enter in by coming on the way of brokenness, a broken heart. See, what do you mean broken heart? In Psalm 34:18, the Bible says, the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and save such as have a contrite spirit. What do you mean by broken heart? It doesn't mean that, you know, your love left you. That's not a broken heart. That's not the broken heart God's talking about. He's talking about exactly what Jesus said. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for example. Where your heart, look, you look inside you. Listen, everybody, you look inside you. And you look inside and you go, what? What is that? Tonight, before service started, we get together, we're praying, but before we pray, we're talking, and we talked about the love of God and eternity And I wish we had a camera going because it was just so cool how all the guys were chiming in. But you think of eternity, God is light, God is holy, God is love. Those three things are stated that God is forever. What's that going to be like? And light, the Bible says there's light there forever in heaven. And that God himself, his nature is holy. That's his nature. No sin, he's holy. But the love part, love, love. You have to have an object. Look, God is light with or without any objects or subjects. God is holy, it's his nature. But you gotta have somebody around to love. Isn't it amazing? Nowhere in the Bible does it say that God loves angels. Now, I don't even defend any angels that may be visiting tonight, but the Bible says that God loves humans. Think of eternity. Apparently, we will have to be in the state of forever to relish, marinate, ingest, experience the love of God. There has to be timelessness because his love is so vast, it can't be put on a clock for you. And then he turns, and then he says, now you love, here's the deal. On the path, love me. And I get embarrassed. I'm sad to say. I gotta be honest with you. Okay, here I am. I'm reporting for duty, God. All right, great. Okay, now here's the deal. You love me, okay? All right. That's like somebody coming up and saying to you, will you be my friend? I mean, you know, it's kind of more than that. I can be friendly to you, but friendship kind of happens, you know? It's a relationship. And so here's the deal. Isn't it amazing? Think about real biblical Christianity. God says, okay, follow me, love me. In fact, if you love me, there's no law. You don't have to worry about any law. You don't have to worry about any rules. You don't have to worry about any do's or don'ts if you love me. So just love me. Okay. Okay, let's go. All right. And you think about that. Really? Because when I say, God, I love you, as soon as it leaves my mouth, it sounds so hollow. I want to bring it back in. It's like, I'm sorry, I just told you I loved you because in my patheticness, am I capable of loving the eternal God? Did you see today? Where were you today? What were you doing today? Unless you're in a submarine, it was a beautiful day today. It was amazing. The wind blowing. We actually went. There's clouds going by. It's amazing. The wind was blowing. The trees were moving. And I just said, God, you're so amazing. I told Lisa, I said, because it was raining earlier this morning, I said, look at this. Will you look at this? Only our God, I said, could lift water out of the ocean, put it in a cloud, and move it across the state and dump it at our house. Is that not, think of it, who can do that? His thoughts. How am I going to move water from the ocean and put it over Jack's house? I know. I'll make a cloud. How does something so heavy float? He's amazing. Do you not appreciate this, people? I know you've never seen rain in this. I'm kidding. Number three. Jesus would have us, require us to enter in by coming on the way of faith. Repentance, brokenness, faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently, fervently, with a hot heart, seek him. Number four, enter in by coming on the way of trust. This is an issue for all of us. Trust. Behold, Isaiah 12:2 says, God is my salvation, I will trust and not be afraid. Listen to this. For Yah, that is the name of the God of the Bible. Yah, that's his name. God is what he is. Yah is his name. For Yah, the Lord, is my strength and song. He also has become my salvation. Next and finally, enter by coming on the way of holiness. The Bible says, God says, be holy for I am holy, says the Lord. Now, when you hear that, listen, because I've had many years of battling this in my mind. For years, I heard it this way. Jack, be holy because I'm holy. And I heard it this way. Jack, you be pure because I'm pure. I'm pure, you be pure. If you're going to be on my team, you got to be pure because I'm pure. But Lord, I start from an impure state. How can I become pure? And I misunderstood that for years. When Jesus says, come and follow me, remember, he turns around as we put our faith in him, in our brokenness, we see that we're sinners and that we can't save ourselves. We come to the end of ourselves. We're about ready to surrender. And the Lord reminds us, you are now in a state of brokenness. You have repented. That is, you've seen a mind change happen in your life. And you see me, the Lord, to save you and not you yourself. Yes, Lord, I do. Then exercise your faith. Yes, God, I have such little faith, but I have faith. Trust me. That's tough. But listen, he says, you be holy. Because I'm holy. Maybe you need to hear it this way, church. God says, I'm holy. And now you're trusting me? You're following me? You're my kid? I declare you holy. So you be holy because I'm holy. The Bible declares us. In fact, Paul said to the saints who are at Rome, grace be unto you. To the saints. Don't you have to be like sworn in or do some miracles and get some pixie dust from Rome sprinkled on you to become a saint? Nope. To become a saint, some of you tonight can become a saint according to the Bible, according to God, if you put your trust in Christ tonight and put your faith in him and understand that your brokenness is not the end of your life, it's just the beginning of your life. And that you accept Jesus Christ and as your Lord and Savior, you trust him that he died on the cross for your sins, God declares you righteous. That's holy. You say, what? What? That can happen tonight? Right now tonight. What's going to happen to me? You're going to be declared holy. But what? Yeah, then you're going to get up and you're going to leave this place and you're going to start living different. How? What do I do? Where do I sign up? Do I work out? Jumping jacks? What do I do? Diet? What is it? Nope, God does it inside of you. That's what I love about our God. You don't have to go through all this kind of stuff, get your book signed, stand on your head, give this away, do that, stand there, you know, whatever, and then that's it, you've arrived, next. No. God does it inside of you. He does it. And so the holiness that way is Hebrews 12:14. Pursue peace with all people and holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Number two is stay away from strangers. Didn't your mom tell you that? Stay away from strangers. Jesus tells us the restrictive part of this portion of scripture. Verse 13, he says, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. You say, what do you mean stay away from strangers? The other way, the world's way, it's very wide. The word is pleitos, and it means, listen to this. This is serious. Think about the world that you live in right now. And think about your critics, for example. Jesus said, watch out, because, here's the word, because massive, spacious, accommodating, available, universal is the gate. Expansive is the way that leads to destruction. Think of that. Jesus said, the broad path with everybody on it, speaking in religious terms, talking about God, maybe even carrying a Bible, maybe even going to church. Jesus says there's a way that people go. Most people are on that path. It's off the narrow. It's way broad. It's so accommodating. It's so universal. Jesus is saying this. I'm not saying this. Does this not sound like our day? Well, just believe. Have you heard this? Just believe. On Christian programming, I have heard too many times the preacher say, just have faith. And I'm waiting for him to finish the statement. And faith, you don't want to drive with me if I'm listening to this stuff. Just have faith and God will bless you. Wait, stop, faith, finish the sentence. Just have faith, what, who, where, and what? They leave you open to think, just have faith. Barbara Streisand recently said, just have faith. Mick Jagger said, keep the faith. What faith? In what? Faith is meaningless. It's the object that determines the value of the faith. It's the value of the object that makes the faith worthy or not. That's why, do you have unbelievers in your life? And they love you, but they're poking your life. They try to poke you. And I like them for this. You need them, and I need them. You want to know why? They're really going like this. Oh, so did you go to church this weekend? Yeah, I sure did. What'd you learn? What'd you learn? Don't they? It's awesome. You have family like that? Who doesn't have family like that? Those people are sent to us by God. Number one, it's the people who are silent that I'm worried about. The people that are, so what'd you learn in your Bible study? Is there some things about God? You know what they're actually doing? Translation. Dude, I wish you'd tell me something profound about what you heard at church, because I'm looking to see if your faith, the object of it, is worthy of my faith. I'm going to try to poke to see if you can take it. Because if you can't take it, then I don't need your Bible and I don't need your God if you can't take it. So I'm going to keep poking you until I get a reaction. Because you know what? I want to believe in someone that can save me. And your God and your Bible says he can. And I want to make sure by poking you in the eyeball about every half an hour to see if your faith's real. That's what they're saying. When they want to attack, that's a good thing. It's the people who are silent. They're lost. They don't care. They're happy about it. They've never heard his voice. Very, very serious. Listen, stay away from strangers, meaning this. There are people who are going to say, hey, it doesn't matter what you believe. Just be sincere. Hitler was sincere. Bin Laden was sincere. Saddam Hussein was sincere. Sincerity, really. Just be sincere. No. It matters. Careless, thoughtless living. That word wide is, think about it, universally accepting, accommodating. I've driven by churches that say, all are welcome. No kidding. All are welcome. Every church says, you shouldn't have to put it on a marquee. All are welcome. But you have to go by his prescribed path. You don't get to make up the path because you're welcome. Jesus doesn't die on the cross and then be resurrected from the dead and say, well, you know what, whatever. He was very specific, was he not? The Bible warns us. And then finally we end with this. Don't do whatever everyone else does. Don't do what everyone else is doing. You say, what is that supposed to mean? He says in verse 13, and there are many who go in by it. Now, this is a shocker. The word many here means the much. The larger amount. The word many here means the most, not a few. The word means, listen, the majority of humanity, Jesus says, goes in by the way that is destruction. These are the words of Jesus. Church, did you hear what I'm saying? Because, listen, you blog this tonight, you've post that on some Facebook or whatever, and people are going to absolutely go ballistic on you. Jesus said few people make it to heaven. I tell you what, think of it. Who said that? Jesus said it. Very few make it. This is not the Jesus that's being preached today.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study called The Parable of the Two Gates and Two Ways. It's a look at an analogy expressed by Jesus himself toward the end of his famous Sermon on the Mount. The Parable of the Two Gates and Two Ways is part of Pastor Jack's series of lessons called The Parables of Jesus, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, we want to let you know about an event coming up here at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. And who better to tell us about it than Pastor Jack himself? Now, Pastor Jack, you and I have a lot of fun here on the radio chit-chatting back and forth, but when it comes to worldview, we get serious. This is a serious topic for you.
Worldview is my thing. And believe it or not, my friend, it's your thing. Every bit of your thinking is based upon the worldview that you have formed.
Yeah.
It could have been a worldview that knowingly or unknowingly you formed because you grew up in a home of atheism,
yeah,
or religion or Christianity or nothingness. But you have a worldview. And listen, today more than ever, I believe that we're mandated from the Bible, and I can prove that, where not only should the Christian and the church have a biblical worldview and really be public about it,
yeah,
but sad today, one of the great things that's killing the church today is many of you may attend a church where the ministry that you're involved in, the church that you go to, they don't even address worldview issues.
Yeah.
Worldview is issues like racism in light of the Bible, homosexuality. What does the Bible say about such things? And what about social justice or some of these things that are really reshaping,
right,
the way some Christians are thinking? We need to get back to the Bible, and that's why we're having this conference called Engage. Listen, it's gloves off, no goofing around, taking the Bible and infusing it into your life so that you would leave this conference being able to answer honestly, lovingly, with a biblical worldview, the challenges that you deal with every day.
So many times I get into a conversation, I go, where do I go from here? So let's get people out to this Engage conference,
yeah,
so you can learn how to talk to people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Every single day on a normal level. It's Friday, July 17th, 6:30 to 9 p.m.
Yeah.
Saturday the 18th from 9 in the morning till 5:30 in the afternoon. Who's going to be with us?
Well, some really good speakers. One of them is a guy that just, every time he opens his mouth, I just, I'm impressed. And that's Frank Turek.
Okay.
Many of you may have already heard or seen Frank Turek do his thing. And when I say do his thing, Frank is such a gifted speaker and defender of the faith. His logic, his reason, again, his biblical worldview,
yeah,
is so powerful. And I want everybody to really hear him argue the biblical truth. You know, we've got Jeff Myers with us, who is the founder and president of Summit Ministries, a life-changing work that he's doing. Just a great word is going to be coming from Jeff. And listen, some of you have heard of a gentleman who's running for president.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Ted Cruz.
Right.
I've had the wonderful opportunity to meet Ted Cruz on numerous occasions back in Washington, D.C. I've heard him give some amazing Bible devotions. Ted Cruz, mind you.
Yeah.
Well, he's not speaking.
All right. His dad, though.
His dad is.
Yeah, I love this guy.
Let me tell you something. Rafael Cruz will blow your mind.
Yeah.
You will see why Ted Cruz is such a good man of integrity when you meet his dad.
Yeah.
Come on out and hear Rafael Cruz. And then we have with us Alan Schlemann, who's from Stand to Reason, a great ministry able to argue the defense of the faith, the accuracy and reasonableness of God's word in our culture today. Davey, personally, I tell you what, I mean, this is such a great event. There's no fee. We've got some generous people who've made it possible,
yeah,
for this thing to be free. Okay?
Can I throw in here real quick? Admission is free,
yeah,
but you got to register.
You got to register,
everybody. We want to make sure you have a seat. So just call us and get a hold of us. Tell us you want to be here. If you need more info, you want to register, go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org and then click on the Engage conference link.
Yeah.
It's real simple. We'd love you to be here, and we need to know that you're coming.
And bring someone with you. Space is limited. We have 3,000 seats, so come on out.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.